Welcome to Embers of the Bonfire. This is your host, Harb Najjar. And today we have two guests. The first is my lovely wife, Naila Al-Kharousi, who is the love of my life, my best friend, and the owner of Noosh Wellness. And our second guest is Asad Bazar'a, who is an astro coach, who does astrology, and has one of the biggest hearts that I know. Thank you both for joining me on this session, this pod sesh. So today's topic is, when you happen, they happen. What does it mean to you guys? What does that mean to you guys?
First of all, thank you for that introduction. That was really sweet. But I think basically it's the idea that when you work on yourself, the reality around you changes. And sometimes it's really easy to be the victim of like, why are these people so mean? And why is this happening to me? And why is this the case? When in reality, like, a lot of it is the way you perceive the situation. So if you change the way you perceive the situation or the person or the way they say things, then they change as a result because your perception of them has changed.
That's powerful. That gives you the primary source of power rather than the environment as a source of power, if that makes sense. You're not dependent on the environment, but you kind of take your power back and changing your perspectives and changing how you hear the comments, how you see things, and how you perceive the experience or situation.
Yeah, it's definitely an empowering way of going about life.
Yeah. There's this powerful quote that Dr. Wayne Dyer says, and I think I've told you this a million times, and it's, the snake bite doesn't kill you, it's the venom that kills you. And what he means by that is, the snake bite is the comment, for example, and the venom is your own thoughts and negative feelings about that comment. So it is basically focusing on how you're thinking and feeling about the situation rather than blaming, projecting it onto what is outside you.
I guess also, like, now I'm just thinking about it for the first time, like, the snake bite is the external thing.
Yeah.
Right? And the venom is what internal. You allow into your being.
Powerful. Love that. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Asad? Because this whole topic started with you, kind of.
You said it beautifully. Stunned. Like, yes, exactly. It is about taking your power back. I think we give our power to a lot of people and situations more than we think, and we feel powerless in them. And in that powerlessness, we forget what we're actually capable of.
How do we take back our power and focus on the primary or within ourselves?
I need to think about that.
I have another question.
Go for it. No, go for it.
I have another question then, because you said we forget what we're capable of. Mm. And I really like that. And what is it that we're capable of? Either of you can answer. Like, what do you think we're capable of when we do take that power back?
Anything. Yeah, anything and everything, exactly. Anything and everything.
Because nothing's stopping you. And you don't allow, like, the things around you or the people around you to stop you.
And more importantly, yourself, you're not stopping yourself. Because you're not having those limited thoughts and feelings or beliefs stop you from achieving what you want.
I'm struggling with this one because there are so many layers to it. It's like, do we think about it, or do I speak about it in a more spiritual level, or in a more practical level, or in a more realistic or life level, let's say. But on a spiritual level, we're all connected. And these very situations are helping you in some way, whether it's to help you strengthen yourself or to let go of something specific, or I don't know. But on a practical level, I'm struggling.
No, I totally get what you mean. Like, on a spiritual level, these situations, they arise and in service to you. That's, again, what we were talking about from the beginning, is that it's easy to be the victim to the situation. Mm-hmm. When if you switch your perspective into, like, this is actually happening of service to me, then that's one way that you can take back your power. Yeah. Like what Harab was asking, like, how do you take back that
your power?
That's one of the first things you can do, is switch your perspective on why quote unquote bad things happen, or why people say mean things, or why you're unlucky, or whatever it is that you believe that actually everything is in service to you.
That's powerful, because you're switching the story. You're switching the narrative. So instead of being the victim of why is this happening to me, switch that question to how can I grow from this? What am I learning from this? And then the answers will come up. And then that way you're always growing with all these tough situations that do come up, which it does, instead of always being a victim to these situations when they do come up. There's a shift of story, and there's so much to gain from that.
Even just feeling better. It feels better to believe that the world has your back to believe that the world is against you. You know, that's a horrible feeling.
And it does, though. If you're feeling, for example, you know how people say you have a bad day? No, it's you had a bad vibration and you're attracting all these bad situations within your day, and it's amplified because you're in anger, because you're in whatever negative feeling, right? But when you're in a good vibration and you've had a good day, it's just because you're in that good vibration, attracting those positive situations and amplifying the positive ones. And when negative ones do happen, your vibration is so strong, it doesn't affect it. Yeah, it's focusing on, as you said, feeling better and knowing that the universe has your back. That's a powerful belief to have, first of all. Yeah. Let's put that out there, that the universe does have your back and is there for you.
And you're talking about being a magnet, or understanding that you are a powerful magnet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you attract anything that is inside of you.
That's how I attracted Nyla into my life. No, seriously. Like, I would say, you know, during our high school years, we just never got the timing right. And then when I went to uni and I had my journey start, my inner journey, I started to love myself and I started to open up. I started to be vulnerable with myself and started to understand what feelings are and loving myself and being open to that. And then you come out of nowhere. You know, actually, though, you came into my life in that transition of I'm starting to love myself and I open myself to that love. And then you come into my life.
That's amazing.
No, seriously, though. Yeah, that's, you know, when you happen, they happen, right? So I was just open to that vibration of love. And I guess I wasn't in the past, and that's why it didn't work out. Yeah, I'm super grateful you're in my life. Really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say, like, just it's a bit off topic, but I feel like my reality was a bit different. I always say, I think I just got lucky because...
You're welcome.
I think, Haram, yeah, maybe you did the work for both of us, because I was a mess when we first started getting in touch.
Me too, though.
So thank you for doing the work for both of us.
No, but me too, I was also a mess. I think I was just open to love. And you must have been open to love too, of course, right?
You know,
in some aspects.
I think I knew deep down anyway that the universe had my back. And I think... Maybe I don't even think I was at a place where I was reflecting on those kind of things, but I think it was a gift from the universe, you know, that maybe I wasn't open to love, but the universe was like, you need love right now. I'm going to send you someone.
But key word, you said you had that belief.
Yeah.
Already. I think I started to learn that belief.
Yeah.
In that timeline. What about you, Asad? What's an experience that when you happened, they happened?
It's to do with my family, and actually to do with Oman generally. Coming back here has always been very difficult for me until I figured out some stuff internally. It's love. I think love is a wonderful tool, or let me say it in the sense of love is a way for you to empower yourself, or love is a way for you to find that power, to recognize that there is love in your life and that everything that is sent to you is just love, whether it's from God, the universe, whatever you want to believe in, or your family or your friends. It's all love. And I think I had to recognize that there is love in my life and that this country is loving towards me to be able to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But that process took a bit of, you know, going internally and understanding what are the parts of me that don't want to receive that love, or are trying so hard to block that love and not believe in it because of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that. And when I started to recognize that there is love here, my entire life changed.
And I think on a practical level, like when we were talking about how do you take your power back, like gratitude. This is one of the ways where gratitude comes in. Mm-hmm. And it can be such a powerful tool. Because sometimes before you recognize that love, and you do feel like everything is against you, and you do feel like I'm being hurt and I'm, you know, I'm crumbling, or like, and you really feel like you're at a low point, gratitude is one of the ways that can, you can slowly climb out of that hole and start to realize, maybe in the beginning you don't realize the universe has your back in every single way, you know, and not everything is a service, but you start to just count the small things, you know, and then they become bigger, and then there's more things to be grateful about, and then you're just a grateful person. And then mm-hmm. that transition from holding the perspective that the world is against you to the world is for you mm-hmm. is easier when you're in a state of gratitude.
And that takes practice. Gratitude takes practice. I feel like any emotion takes practice, you know, in terms of making it your habitual go-to as an emotion or your norm. And it's creating those timelines or those practices throughout your day, such as, you know, when, before you go to bed, you count your blessings. When you wake up, you count your blessings, or just counting your blessings whenever you sit down. It's those small things that you have to, not have to, but is useful to remember to be grateful for, is setting cues in your daily life to be like, okay, what are three things I'm grateful for and why?
Okay, so how do you stay so disciplined with that? Because Harab is one of the most like disciplined people I know, with his habits and rituals and things that he does to serve himself. Where I'm like, I can just scroll on my phone for 5 hours and then like turn it and like pass out, you know? How do you like motivate yourself to do it?
I think at this point, it's actually just the habit of, because we've done it how many, like, for years now, almost, right? So I think I know how good gratitude feels like. And I always want to feel that. That's one reminder. And also, because I've set that intention of I'm gonna be grateful and count my blessings every night and every morning, every time. And I've set that intention. And if you do something for so long, it just becomes habitual. Even though I'm not feeling grateful necessarily, it's okay, I need to do it anyways. But essentially, it's because I know how gratitude feels like, and it feels better than a lot of other emotions. So it's that yearning to feel that emotion. Yearning to feel that emotion all the time. And I think because of that, I'm seeing the feedback from the universe of feeling grateful in the middle of my day. And I'm not even doing a practice I'm not even counting my blessings, but I'm so grateful for this podcast session right now with my wife, with Asad. Like, I'm so grateful, you know? So it compounds, if that makes sense, as well, you know? And you do experience those moments, and those moments and memories create like a bigger reminder of, okay, this is why you're doing it. This is why you're staying grateful. And then it's more of a reason to do it at night, count your blessings and do it in the morning or during your day or whatever. It's honestly the reward of feeling gratitude and living from gratitude.
A lot of people expect to see the results.
The instant results.
Yeah, instantly. Yeah. And it's a muscle. You need to keep training it for a while.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily feel grateful when I do my till now, and it's been how many years, but it's more and more I do feel it, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it is work in a sense, but it's working towards that bigger picture goal. Okay, if I do this for the next 5 years, what is it going to look like in 5 years? You know, how is my brain, how are my thoughts, how are my feelings going to be different in 5 years? And working towards that, for example, and
that's a great exercise for people to try.
Yeah.
And I just projected 5 years of constant
gratitude. Yeah. Three things before you go to bed and when you wake up, and why. Because when you say why you're grateful, it almost doubles your gratitude. It like creates a second layer to your gratitude. And to be honest, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Like, actually, it's such a powerful exercise to do.
What else does when you happen, they happen means? But you didn't say what it means to you, Harab, actually.
When you're feeling good, you don't depend on your outside to feel good. And when you're feeling good, the outside starts feeling good. It's not that you're waiting for example, like if I'm confident and complimenting myself, I'm naturally going to feel that and attract those situations instead of waiting for someone outside me to gain that validation. If I'm validating myself instead of waiting for a comment from outside myself. So it's naturally just taking back your power, as you said, as like going back and piggybacking off both of you, is feeling good within myself allows me to have the environment re-strengthen that feedback.
So we're basically like creating our own realities, right?
Yeah, basically. That's what you're creating a positive reality. You're always creating a reality, but it's what type of reality are you creating? You know, a negative loop of victimization and victimhood, or loop of positivity and creation and love and joy, excitement for life, or gratitude for life? So what do you choose?
Tough choice. Tough choice. I need to think about it. I think I really choose a reality where I just feel lighter. I think that's what a lot of people are striving for in this like time, in this era. I think a lot of people feel heavy. There's a lot of heaviness on people and they just want to like let go of it, you know, take off all their backpacks and like throw it down and just like glide.
There's this beautiful story of enlightenment story going off what you just said, where this guy was wondering what enlightenment was. And this guy was coming down a hill in India and he had like a big rucksack on his back. He was holding it. He was going downhill. And this guy asked him, "Can you explain to me what enlightenment is?" So the guy with the rucksack put his rucksack down on the floor and looked at the guy and smiled. And then the guy said, "And what is after enlightenment?" He asked him. The guy picked up his rucksack and started walking. And that's literally what you said, which is feel lighter and feel, remove all the baggage, emotional baggage, heaviness. And
then that's what this whole episode is saying, is that even when you pick the bag back up, it doesn't matter.
You know what I mean?
I'm saying, okay, I want to drop my bags, but actually when you happen, they happen. Like, so the bag doesn't even matter if it's there or not.
Yeah, that's deep. That's like another layer to the story. I love that. That's what accepting all feelings are, you know, like being okay with whatever feelings, which is the emotions, right? Whatever feelings come up, whatever story comes up, whatever thought comes up, it's being okay with all of that. And yeah, living your life with that lens, complete acceptance, radical acceptance.
And what Asad was saying, like, embracing it, like believing it serves you. So like, yes, there's this bag and yes, it's heavy, but maybe I know if I walk with this bag, I'm going to get stronger. But if I put the bag down, maybe the walk will be easier. I'll just be the same at the end, you know? But if I pick up this weight, my muscles are going to grow stronger. My legs are going to grow stronger. My back, whatever, like, you know?
That's true because you do see it, like people who go through a lot of suffering have a lot of compassion and a lot of strength. And it's true, you know, people who have, or super humble, or, you know, people who've gone through tragedy are super grounded, super wise. And
that is a choice, you know, because it can go the other way.
Yeah,
it can make people very bitter.
Yeah, so resentful. Yeah.
I'm happy to see when they are compassionate because it's like, okay, you're doing great.
Yeah, you took the right perspective. I don't like to use the word right, but the lighter perspective. The lighter perspective.
More beneficial for you and everyone around you.
Yeah, because now we know it's not about being lighter.
It's being okay with the bag. Yeah. Being okay with the baggage.
I think it's really powerful because, you know, sometimes when it's yourself, it's a bit harder to like pinpoint it. But when you see other people.
Because you're not holding that emotional baggage.
Yeah. And when you witness other people, like when you witness the people who are like, complaining nonstop, or you are that victim, and then you feel like the little things that keep happening to them, and you're like, I see where maybe this is coming from, or what this is drifting my thought process. But you know what this all is? It's communication with what's beyond you. If you're complaining or you're saying you're the victim, that's what you'll get because that's what you believe and that's what's going to happen. But if you believe, that it's serving you, you know, then it will want to serve you. God will want to serve you. The universe will want to serve you. All the things will want to serve you because you're grateful towards them. And and all the good things start to fall in place.
And you're compounding that energy when you complain and you say, I hate this. What is your heart radiating to the universe or to the world? And then the universe is like, okay, this is what you want to feel more of. Here you go. More to complain about, more to blame, more to be, you know, resentful.
Yeah.
It's breaking that loop.
Why do you guys think that mechanism exists?
Like the feedback?
Yeah.
I think because then how would you ever be conscious? Like, how would you ever be self-conscious? How would you ever be self-aware and self-grow? Mm-hmm. Like, I assume maybe it's one of the points or one of the reasons why we're here on Earth is to learn about ourselves. And if there's nothing reflecting it back to you, how would you ever learn? But then again, some people, maybe they don't want to learn. And they're just chilling.
And there are people like that. They're just enjoying life.
You know, they're also enjoying life.
Yeah. They just have no attachment to growth or self-development. So there's kind of like, you know, ignorance is bliss in a sense.
Yeah, I believe that's what makes you powerful. Like, you can create your reality in that sense. It's the world telling you, you have the power. What's going on inside of you will be outside of you.
Yeah, amplified. Yeah. What are you radiating? What would you guys say you're radiating right now?
I'm in a lot of gratitude too. Especially today. I'm like, oh, I feel like my capacity for gratitude is growing. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Right now, I'm really content and happy. I'm very like at peace. Coming here, I was a bit tired, you know, like I was a bit tired, but being here right now, I can feel my cheeks like hurting a bit from smiling. This is nice to be with you guys. Yeah.
What am I radiating? I'd say just excitement, you know, just happy to be here. I feel like creating this podcast and having people that I love and that bring me so much joy and to share this with you is so comfortable and so exciting. And I'm just grateful as well. So it's both your vibrations combined. I'd say like content, happy, gratitude, like on, like it's, I'm just, yeah, I'm super happy and grateful.
I have some questions.
Okay, let's go.
So there's kind of like this understanding in the room, at least between the three of us, that, okay, the way to go is, you know, work on yourself. And so then your reality reflected back to you will be a nicer reality. Whether it's actually nicer, you perceive it nicer, whatever the case is. But sometimes things still hurt. Sometimes things still hurt. Mean comments still hurt. When something doesn't work out, it hurts. When a quote-unquote bad thing happens to you, it still hurts. Even if you do believe that God is serving you, the universe is serving you, it can still be painful. How do we deal with that pain?
I think that's being human. It's meant to be that way, and it's fine. We live in an idealistic world where we feel like we shouldn't ever feel those things, but it's totally normal. It's being human. And I always react negatively to most things, most of the time. It gets better, but I still do. It takes time, but it's becoming easier to switch. And we were talking about it in the other episode. It's about feeling that feeling and accepting it. And that creates the alchemical process inside of you where you get to gratitude, for example.
Yeah, I feel like being open to all experiences is powerful, no matter how painful, no matter how hurtful. That's, as I said, that's just a human nature. You know, that's a human condition of we do feel pain, we do feel hurt. If anything, it's nudging us towards our truth, right? Which is, why is it painful? Why is that comment painful? Because you know it's not true. And some part of you knows it's not true. Maybe some part of you believes it's true, but your true self knows that it's not true. For example, when you get hurt by something physically, you stay away from that, right? And that's kind of in a way like the universe also, you know, that emotional hurt is like, okay, I need to stay away from this type of thinking, this type of belief, or this type of, it's like a, also like a GPS system that's telling you, like a radar system that's sending you that comment or that situation, you know, it's not meant for you or it isn't your truth. Like when things don't work out, for example, what's your belief about it, right? You go back to, am I a victim to it or khair? You know, maybe this isn't meant for me. You know, maybe something better is coming up. So it's, what are you creating from that? what's your perspective on the situation? Going back to, like I said, it's being okay with the pain, really being okay with the pain. Can we really feel that pain all the way and just allow it to flow through us? Or do we resist it and not want to feel it? And then it hurts even more. So it's getting to that space where we do welcome and are accepting of all forms of feelings and thoughts and letting them flow through and having a positive perception or in the situation as much as possible. And we all react. I'm not saying that this is me all the time. I'd love for me to have like, yeah, pain. Yeah, like just flow through. And yeah, this isn't meant for me. It's okay. And then move on, right? But that, as you said, that time period, that reaction period, instead of 1 month goes to 3 weeks, right? And then 2 weeks, and then 1 week. And maybe it's not as linear, but it is a muscle that grows. And my optimistic self believes that reaction will go into 1 second. And even if it doesn't, it's short enough that it doesn't affect my daily life as a reaction period.
What is one thing that all of us, like as individuals, like for ourselves, we can work on so that our reality can change?
I just like to say, like, I love these questions. I feel like there's a lot of thought and love behind them. Yeah. You're opening up doors here. Yeah. Super grateful for you. Appreciate you. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, like, so that was the question. So basically, it's when you happen, they happen, right? Which is basically when you happen, when you work on something, when you flip something or grow in some way, then the reality around you changes, right? So maybe we all have something in our reality that we want or we're striving for or praying for, whatever it may be. What is the counter thing? Like, what is the first step we can work on and we can like set intention together to like all work on? Like, everyone has their own thing. I think one thing I want, or like I've been yearning for a while, is a community. Like a community, a sense of belonging, really a tribe. I'm so blessed for the people that I do have, but I still have this yearning for a community. When you happen parts, and I think it's starting to believe that I'm not alone. I think maybe there's a part of me that believes I'm on my own. I have to figure things out. I'm not loved, or I'm not enough the way I am. And those are all things that I can work on. I can start believing I'm enough. I can start believing I'm lovable. I can start believing I'm one with everyone, and then maybe they will happen. And I feel like actually that's something I have been working on and has slowly started manifesting.
It has.
Yeah, no, yeah. It has. Yeah. It has, for sure. So that's what I'm going to work on. Like, I'm going to work on feeling enough and feeling lovable.
And how do you work on that? What are some practical ways that you can do that?
One of the main things is like the negative self-talk, the negative narrative in the head that's going on all day. Like, that's just gotta like snip, snip, say goodbye to it. You know, like, because it really is just one of those things that just does not serve you. Like, there's no reason to be mean to yourself. There's no reason. And I think it's one of those things like gratitude, that gratitude muscle that you set intention to work on it, and you set intention, like, how is this going to feel in 5 years, you know? And I guess I could also set intention. And I could also, like, say, like, maybe I'll say one nice thing to myself, you know, every day before bed. How's that going to feel in 5 years? If I say one nice thing to myself every day for 5 years, okay, your job is to remind me to say a nice thing to myself before bed.
And really feel that. And really feel that nice thing.
And really feel it. And really feel it,
Mind and heart.
What about you guys?
Yeah, what about you, Asad?
I think I have big, lofty dreams for myself, specifically for my career. I don't know how they're going to happen, but I believe they're going to happen. And I just have to be patient with it. And I think my practical way of making it happen internally is through being patient with myself, because I'm very self-judgmental and I attack myself a lot.
The negative self-talk, you know.
Yeah. And I think patience is something I've been trying to cultivate. That's the muscle I'm trying to strengthen these days. And it's through that. It's through my habits, my routines. I see them as rituals to strengthen whatever quality you want to strengthen yourself, even if it seems unrelated.
So how are you strengthening patience?
By doing all the things that I love. By telling myself, even though those things aren't happening, I'm still happy with my life.
Okay. Mm.
I still love my life. I'm looking forward to my every day because I am dreaming for the big things so that I am happy with my every day. Mm-hmm. So that I enjoy my every day and wake up singing, excited to do what I do.
That's powerful.
And then I guess when the big things do happen, it's just like bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're already feeling those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just secondary, you know, the events.
Yeah.
I would say for me, I'd say is something I'm working on is definitely my healing. And how I'm working on it, I would say is also being grateful and completely present in the moment and not necessarily waiting for the healing, but feeling grateful for the life I have now, which is similar to what you said, which is, yeah, even though you know it's going to happen eventually, it's just a matter of I'm okay now, I'm content now, I'm happy now, and I'm grateful now, and I'm in the moment now instead of waiting. And I would say creating those feelings is definitely through those, you know, practices, the gratitude practices, the meditations, the self-help books, it's the podcasts, it's the learning about, you know, and listening to people that do have that aura of being present, of being happy, of being whole, of being content with life, and just taking all that in mentally and embodying it emotionally, which is gratitude, which is peace. You know, I'm grateful to be here right now. You know, I'm grateful to be able to really be here. Because that wasn't necessarily a guarantee 10 years ago. So it's focusing on that gratitude. And because I'm so content and happy with life, everything else would be secondary. And I'm not necessarily waiting for that healing because I'm whole now. So it's feeling that wholeness in this moment, in every moment, and not waiting.
So proud of you.
Thank you. Okay, it's time to wrap up. Our final questions for the both of you. When you happen, they happen. So I'll start with you, Naida. What is one piece of advice you would tell your younger self about this topic?
You know, I actually, like, I know this is a good question, but I actually don't like answering this question because I feel like if I told my younger self something, then I wouldn't be here.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I said I literally replied that. Yeah. I'm just grateful for my own self. That's powerful too, is you just...
What would I tell my current self?
Because, okay, yeah, let's...
Because to be honest, within me is a little version of Naila.
Yes.
Who probably could use some advice sometimes.
Okay, your inner child. What would you tell your inner child?
What would I tell my inner child about this? I'd just say... I think my inner child is hurting more with comments. I think she's very insecure. I think she's very insecure. And I would tell her that you're so perfect. Your light is so beautiful and big and bright. And you're beautiful. Like, that's what I would tell her. Like, don't listen to these people, you know, or your own voice, you know. Mm. You're so perfect the way you are. That's what I would tell my inner child.
What about you, Asad? What would you tell you?
I'm going to try hard to answer. I guess not to be scared. I think my inner child feels a lot of fear. Don't be afraid. You got this, honestly. It's not that difficult, I think. But to keep going, not to give up. As we were talking about power, you have the power, mm-hmm. you know? So don't give up. You've done it before many times. You can keep going.
For the second question, what are you most grateful for right now?
Right now, honestly, everything. I feel like in this moment, alhamdulillah, life is good.
and US hats?
I'm grateful for you guys. I'm so grateful for all of this. Like, it's a wonderful dream come true.
No, thank you. That it really is. Alhamdulillah. And third question, what do you pray for tomorrow or for your future?
For my future, I pray that the bag doesn't matter. I pray that I start to love the heavy bag and I just embrace it and I take it along with me and I let it help me get stronger.
Love that answer. Love that you circled back to that story. Added a deeper layer to that story too. What about you, Azad? What do you pray for tomorrow or the future?
You know when someone hits you with something and I've been hit with love in my face, I'm like, sorry.
Love is in the air.
Seriously. What is the question?
What do you pray for tomorrow or the future?
I don't know why, but I just want a greener Oman. Like, I want Oman to be more green. That's what I pray. I don't know where it came from.
Like, physically?
Yes.
Okay.
I want more plants in Oman. I think there are plants here.
That's a very giving answer.
For your bedroom.
And the fourth question is, what is your current superpower?
I mean, just being me.
What does that entail for the audience?
Straight up awesomeness.
You definitely lighten up the room.
That was my answer.
Yeah. And what about you, Azad?
You know, I think the power of transformation. Yeah. I think I've transformed a lot in my life. And that's a superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the final question, what is one piece of advice for the audience or one ember of wisdom that they can take from this episode?
I think you're more in control than you think you are.
And I'm going to go a bit against that in the sense of you have no control. Yeah. But whoever has control loves you so damn much, more than you'll ever know.
Ooh, both the paradox of life right there.
Yeah, literally.
The paradox of life right there. You can go either way and be happy. Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. And thank you, Naila and Azad, for joining me and for your energy on this pod sesh. Until next time, have a beautiful, beautiful day. Stay blessed.